when I was preparing as worship leader for today, God did speak to me and gave me a thought, what I believe is an important thought, and I'd like to share that with you today. And so I'd like to go back to a sermon I gave last year. Now, I'm not going to ask how many of you remember, so I'll give you a little reminder. The title of that sermon was In His Presence, and it was regarding the presence of God. And I spoke of the presence of God in several different ways. One way was perhaps most memorable was the Shekinah glory. This was the presence of God as he was with the children of Israel, as he appeared in the Holy of Holies. Not that anyone saw him besides the high priest, because no one was allowed to go. But there was that glorious presence, and it was also manifest to the nation of Israel as a whole, as they were traveling through the wilderness as a pillar of fire at night, as a cloud by the day. And it is an interesting reflection that that type of presence is very important in our lives, actually. That we experience God in his full glory. That we understand what it means to go into his presence, to stand before his throne. But those are the moments which punctuate our lives. We don't live there all the time. God has put us on the earth. He's given us lives on the earth. And he gives us another type of presence. He gives us many types of presence. One, I think I call the enduring presence. So let me read this briefly from Psalm 139, a familiar passage. I'll be reading verses 7 through 12. And here the author is asking, how does he get out of the presence of God? Not that he wants to, but he's pointing out that God is always with us. He says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." So the psalmist reminds us that God is always there. We sometimes say God is omnipresent. But there was another type, another way of thinking about the presence of God, which you'll recall I felt was perhaps most important, and that was God's personal presence in our lives. And this harkens back to the time before the fall, when God came and walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, in fellowship with them. And this passage, our scripture reading for today, reminded me of that importance of that presence. So let's turn back to Matthew 14. And let's look at the situation. Now, I don't know, how many of you are boating very often? Okay. A few of us, not too many. Although there is a story about the deacons in years past having to do with a boat who might be relevant in this situation. Maybe I'll tell that later. But the disciples were sent ahead by Jesus, and they were on their boat. Now you remember that many of them were fishermen, and so they would not be inexperienced. They would know how to deal with the situations that arise while one is boating. But it was a very rough night. There were lots of wind. It was tossing the boat. And the disciples were looking out, and they saw something on the water. Now, how were they supposed to think about this? Something's on the water. It's not a fish. And they were afraid. It says what? That they cried out in fear. I believe that's what. Yeah, they cried out in fear. It's a ghost. So, a situation which for them was fairly normal, day-to-day occurrence, crossing a lake, suddenly becomes something of a crisis. It's a crisis for them. They're afraid. Now, not many of us are boating very often, but I think we all encounter crises in our lives. And there are times when we're afraid. We're concerned. We have a problem. We don't know how to solve it. And it's at those times, I think we should recall exactly how God, in this case Jesus, the Son of God, responded to the disciples. Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I." Now let's think about that for just a moment. Suppose it had been me walking out on that lake. Well, that's not going to happen, of course, but the word, if I said, "It is I," would that mean anything to the disciples? That just might scare them all the more. And you're walking out on the lake, and we don't know you. So it's not the words, "It is I," but it is the one who spoke those words which make them significant. Because Jesus was announcing his presence. And his presence was expected to have an important effect. Do not be afraid. The presence of Jesus took away their fear. So much so that Peter was willing to step out of the boat himself. Now it is true that his faith faltered as he stepped out of the boat. But how many of us are going to step out of the boat in the first place? And there's something very important. Because Jesus was present, even though Peter's faith wobbled as he saw the wind and the waves, Jesus was there. Jesus took his hand and lifted him to safety. Not because of Peter's great faith, not because of Peter's goodness, not because of Peter's great works, but because the Lord Jesus was there to lift him. So in the presence of Jesus, we have an absence of fear. have a real security that he can protect us. And I think there's one point which we should meditate upon today. And that is, in our lives, when we encounter a crisis, do we hear the Lord saying, "It is I, don't be afraid"? Or do we have a substitute? That gives us comfort instead of the Lord. When we hear that there is financial trouble, do we take comfort in the security of our job? Do we take comfort in our bank accounts or in our 401k plans? Perhaps we take comfort in our relationship with our parents, or our husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend. Or maybe we take comfort in the thought, "Oh, I do so much for God. He must love me." Or maybe we take comfort in the thought, "Oh, I know so much. I've learned so much. Gain great wisdom. I have fabulous degrees." Well, perhaps, Brother Nathan mentioned this morning, perhaps we take comfort in our popularity, our friends. Now, I don't know how much we take comfort in our video games, but maybe sometimes we do respond to stress and difficulties with video games or other escapes. And maybe these are things that give us a sort of comfort zone, a place where we're comfortable. And if we're not careful, maybe these things become idols. Not that any of these things are necessarily bad or wrong in themselves. Many of them are very positive. But if we let them replace God's presence in our lives, they do become idols. And so, I ask that each of us reflect. When we have a difficulty, when we have stress, when something happens that's causing us a problem, when there's a concern, do we respond to the voice of the Lord saying, "It is I, don't be afraid"? Or do we turn to something else, a substitute? And I pray that as we consider that we ask the Lord to take away any substitute which is truly replacing him. And that we would learn, that we would make our comfort zone that place of being with him where he says, "It is I." And we take comfort and we're not afraid. Let's pray together. Father, when there is stress and difficulties and problems, as there always is in this world, Father, we ask that you would make us aware of your presence. And that presence, because of our relationship with you, our relationship with your Son, would give us comfort, would take away our fear, would give us strength. And Father, we confess that many times we allow Satan to use the stresses and difficulties in our lives to take us to other places where we lose the awareness of your presence and where we rely on our own resources, at least those we think that are within our control. And Father, we pray that you would help us, draw us close and hold us there. We pray in your Son's name.